Bike Sport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. It's Monday, March 31st. We got Robert in the studio today. How you doing, Robert? Check your mic.
I am doing well. Check.
Hey, it works.
All right. Awesome.
Cool.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, we got some blown out speakers here, so we're listening to this tinny little sound in the studio, but I know you all out there are getting some great sound. We hope. Today's Monday, March 31st. I said that already. It's Cesar Chavez Day, right?
My hermano got me a day off of work.
Sweet. Yeah, Robert. Sandoval, of course, you know all about that. That's the union unionizing the farm workers,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, basically getting the Hispanic Latin farm workers to unionize and stand up for their rights because, you know, they were known as the sleeping giant, the quiet giant. They took it, and, you know, a lot of people getting really sick, a lot of hurt, you know, a lot of things going down, and he got everybody unionized and stand for our rights, and definitely made some changes.
All right, yeah, man, that is the American way, unionizing. So, anyways, we've got some race results: Northern California's Turlock Road Race and local race results in Southern California from the Chuck Pontius Road Race at Castaic Lake. Cool interviews also with some racers out there. G-Money himself, Ironfly's Kevin Phillips, and also Big Orange's Chatty Longlegs. He goes by Chatty Longlegs. This guy's got like legs that are 9 feet long.
Nice.
And Robert's in the studio today. Robert's reviews on, we're going to talk about Barfly, that's a Garmin mount, and also Scorpion bike stands. So let's go to some race results for right now. All right, the fourth annual Turlock Road Race, held March 29th, Saturday, up in Turlock, Northern California. Women's pros in Category 1s and 2s, third place team Mike's Bikes, presented by Equator Coffee, Ivy Wang, riding out of San Francisco. Threshold Sports, presented by Lead Out Endurance Coaching, Josie Morgan from Oakland. And taking the win, Team Mike's Bikes, Dana Martin from San Anselmo, California. And in the men's pros and category 1s and 2s, who did we have there? We had third place going to Team Mike's Bikes out of Pleasanton, Marcus Smith, third place. View Medi, presented by Lombardi Sports, second place going to Alexander Frond. And also Team Mike's Bikes picking up the win from Oakland, Roman Killen. Team Mike's Bikes kicking it out there in the pro men and pro women's category fields. Masters 35 plus, Joshua DePais, riding for Audi, taking that win from Berkeley, California. And in the Masters 45s, Morgan Stanley Specialized, sweeping the 1 and 2 spot, Don Langley in second, and your winner, Clint Garver, both with Morgan Stanley. Older Masters 55 plus, it's the Laws, Dave Montgomery from Olympic Valley, taking the win there. Men's Category 3s and 4s, Covaris Wells Racing Team's Lyndon McLaughlin. And in the men's category 4-5s, 35 and over, third place going to Team Revolution's Omir Torres, second place C510's Jack Backus, and your winner from LiveWireSupply.com, Adam Messner. Men's Cat 5's Chris Ojeda from UCLA, picking up the win there, going all the way up to Northern California. And we also had Masters Women's 35 and over, taking the podium in third place position, Sister of Cycling's Michelle Scharf. Second place going to MetroMint Cycling's Ellen Sherrill. And your winner from RITA Women's Cycling Team, Rusty Sasser. And in the beginner women's category 4, Cynthia Wang taking the win there for Team Fremont. And in the women's cat 3s, riding for Michael David Winery, Chelsea Brown. Complete results at usacycling.org. Chuck Pontius Memorial Road Race, men's category fours, Jeffrey Bartz, third place, Sydney Thomas, second, and your winner riding for Team Rockform, Robert Freeman. In the Masters 60 plus, Owen Thomas, taking the podium, third place, also making the podium in second, Swami Cycling's Gary Shuey, and your winner, Vélo Club Lagrange, is Richard Moll.
I'm hoping it's not going to look so glamorous. That is
women's Cat 1-2-3 is Tracy Tilton taking third for Spy Giant Ride. Athena Konturoitos riding for Sisterhood of Cycling in second place. And your winner from Spy Giant Ride, Jessica Kara. Masters 55's Brad Jones taking third place. Second place winner, Mark Spivey from Stage 1. And your winner, Breakaway from Cancer's Masters, Malcolm Hill. Women's Cat 3's Rachelle Jorgensen, third place. Second place, Amy Rice. And your winner, InCycle Racing, presented by Full Cycle, Vanessa Snap. And in the Women's Cat 4's, Megan Jones taking third place. Big Orange Cycling's Lauren Amolowitz, second. And your winner, Heather Balbiar. Masters 35's, Nathan Lloyd, third place. Second place went to Phil Tinsman. Monster Media Elite Masters, and also Monster Media Elite Masters, Kristen Markey taking the win there. Masters 45, Spy Giant Ride, Kirk Bosch in third. And a very close sprint between first and second. We've seen this finish before. Big Orange Cycling's Greg Leibert taking second. Breakaway from Cancer's Masters, Thurlow Rogers taking the win. And in the Category 3's, Chad Crivier, Big Orange Cycling in third place. Brandon Jones taking second. And your winner, John Budinoff. Complete results at SantaClaritaVelo.com. All right, that was race results at Castaic. That's the Lake Hughes Road Race on Lake Hughes Road. Really cool course there. Awesome course, actually. Not really a pure climber's course, but appropriate for kind of an all-around rider. There was some cool rollers in the back in the canyons there up Lake Hughes, and then there was one super, super long climb with a couple of rollers to the finish. Upcoming events. What do we got upcoming? Upcoming in Northern California on Saturday, April 15th, the Central Coast Road Series continues with the Fort Ord Circuit Race. This is a four-mile loop, 4.3 miles. Awesome course, actually. It's all private. It's in the fort up in Monterey. It's in the backwoods fort area. There's no cars on the course. That's right. No cars because it's on a military base. And there's some wind. Nice little loop and a downhill before the finish with a slight uphill to the finish. I have a special fondness of that event because I raced it about 3 years ago and initiated the winning breakaway, actually, which was really cool in the Masters category, and got away, and a couple of guys bridged up to me, and there were four of us, three of us for a while, and then we lost another guy, and there were two of us, and then two more bridged up, and one of them was Cale Reeder. And Cale Reeder is like a multi-time national champ, and he just blew the rest of us away in the last lap and took the win solo. And I took the sprint in the breakaway and got second, but and then the rest of the field came in. But yeah, that's the Central Coast Road Series Fort Ord Circuit Race, cccxcycling.com. That's Keith DeFeber, great promoter up there in Northern California. Fort Ord coming up April 5th. What else have we got? We got anything, Robert? You got something coming up also? Sea Otter?
Well, in the dirt world, we've
dirt got, racing?
Yeah, all the we'll let Brad handle the skinny tire stuff, and I'll go ahead and I'll handle the manly. No, anyways.
Getting it dirty.
The dirty stuff. We got the U.S. Cup up at Santa Ynez at Los Olivos Dirt Club out there this weekend, this Sunday, actually. Should be a nice... course, we got some rain scheduled for this week, so, and they've been getting a lot of rain to the north of us, so we should have a, as they're calling it, a hero dirt, and it's definitely going to help because this has been a really dry XC season. Every race we've been to has been just hot and dusty, and just the courses really need the water. So Santa Ynez is this coming weekend, and then what is called the Interbike Mini Interbike Number Twos, actually. Sea Otter Classic coming starting next Thursday. The of course I forgot the date, but yeah, How am I on August?
April 10th or something?
Yeah,
I don't know,
it's
somewhere
April,
around there.
April
yeah.
10th, 11th is that Thursday week there. It's a four, it's a
also in Monterey.
Yep. Also in Monterey at Laguna Seca Raceway. And it, they call it the mini interbike because we actually get a lot of pre-summer releases on new product. And I'm going to be out there trying to cover the new stuff coming out.
Right on. Bike Sport Radio will be there. Cool.
Yeah,
thanks, Robert.
We're definitely there.
And also coming up April 13th in Southern California, the only SoCal Cup points race in all of Southern California, the 20th annual LA Circuit Race, presented by Cycling Is Not a Crime. So motorists don't treat cyclists like criminals. We're not criminals. Cyclingisnotacrime.org. Check that out. This is also part of the Road Devo series. That's USAC's Junior Development Series. You get junior points, and all junior categories are offered. We've also added the weekly Graffiti Roads Series. That's a national point series coordinated by a gentleman in Nebraska who's coordinating a national Graffiti Roads Series, and we got named as one of their races as well. And separate racing for Masters 60 plus and Masters 55. Usually the Masters 55s and 60s race together. So the 60 plus guys, we love you out there. We're going to have a good field and you get a race all to yourselves. Check out backontrackproductions.com for all details on the LA Circuit Race coming up Sunday, April 13th. All right, so Bike Sport Radio is all about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. So we got some things that you need, What have we got? We got Barfly. We got Robert in here to talk about Barfly. And also Scorpion bike stands. Tell us a little bit about Barfly. What is a Barfly? It's not the person in the bar, right?
No. That's not Brad on a Friday night. Okay, we've got a company called Tate Labs, the parent company of this organization, that create this product. It's called the Barfly. And what it is, basically, it's they started out making computer mounts that were a little more rigid than the OEM, you know, ones that come with it. You know, the little rubber strap that breaks and screws down and whatnot. And the Garmin, being a real popular computer that it is, the Garmin mounts, the stock ones, are okay, but they're just, you can't really put them where you want to put them. You know, they move a lot and things like that. Not very sturdy. Sometimes they bounce out of them and whatnot. The Barfly came up with a little more universal mount that is a little more solid, allows you some more flexibility in mounting. And, you know, here's, I think, one of the best things about their product is it's the actual same material base as the back of your Garmin. Now, that is really important to understand. There are some really, really super pretty mounts out there made of aluminum. And very nice, you know, CNC machine, very beautifully cut and whatnot. And they're all pretty shiny anodized aluminum. Well, there's a little problem with that. You have a plastic Garmin, and anybody who has a Garmin knows what the common problem is. It's the tabs on the back like to break. I just went through this. That's why I know. And what happens is if you take a plastic item and constantly turn it in and out of something that's hard aluminum, for example, you're going to have some premature wear of those tabs. It could cause some early breakage. I've heard of Garmins popping out of their mounts, you know, on a descent, on a bumpy descent.
Teammate lost one. It was hilarious. I forget how he described it, but he was going on. He had a pothole, and his Garmin just went flying, and he went down the street a half a block and was able to turn around. He came back, saw the cars going back and forth, and he was standing there by the side of the road waiting for a break in traffic. Too late. The next car went by, and kaboom! Million pieces his Garmin. But Garmin was really cool. You know what they did? They actually sent him a new Garmin, replace it, and a new mount. So
I've heard, yeah. They actually, like, I think it's about $100, depending on the damage. They have a prorated deal where you can get a refurb one from them. But, you know, it's just, so why have that issue to begin with? It's kind of a headache. So I've been kind of searching around for different mounts. I was definitely looking at those nice shiny ones, but they're really expensive. And I was like, there's got to be another alternative. And I stumbled across the Barflies. And the first one I got was one of their first generation ones. It's a 1.0, which we have right here. Brad was actually fondling it a few seconds ago. And, you know, it's a very basic mount. It allows you to put the computer in front of the bars or actually behind the bars. So some people like it tucked in. And really nice. I really liked it. I've had this thing for over 1,000 miles or so of abuse and use, and it's just, you know, solid engagement. My Garmin snaps in there really nice. And
this is the left-hander version, because if you mount it in front, the Garmin is to your left. And well, if you mount it behind the bars, the Garmin goes to the right.
Well, that, yeah. Now, that's the problem with the 1.0 version. Now, if you look at the next couple versions, you'll see what's going on. As I found out by accident, Barfly makes some newer ones that allow you to flip-flop them to however you want to put your
reversible
computer.
I see.
And now you can actually... I like to have mine centered over the stem. If you look on a mountain bike now, Brad, I know you guys can't see, but that's the 3.0 mountain bike version. It allows you to flip it right in line with the stem.
Right,
and you
right.
can actually do that on a road bike as well. Now, the one Brad's actually got, what we have in studio here is, if anybody wants to go to Tate Labs or barflybike.com, you will see all the different products. And so what we have in studio today, we have the 1.0, we have the 3.0, and we have the 2.0, which is, no, you've got the 2.0 is right there. It's got the two-position mount on it.
That's simple. 2.0 has two positions, okay.
Yeah, and that's
it actually has four positions, because you can mount it front, back,
right.
left, or right.
That's a really nice one, because I can really
double
adjust.
Mount.
I can play with the placement of my Garmin on my bar where it's located.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really nice bracket.
Those of you that are geometrically challenged, I'll try to describe this. The mount bolts onto your bars and goes forward and to the right for the 1.0. So in order to mount, it goes forward to the left for the 1.0, and if you want it mounted behind your bars, you have to turn it around, and the mount comes backward and to the right. However, the 2.0, you can mount with the mount going forward to the left, or you can flip it over and mount it with the mount going to the right. So you can have your Garmin on either side, and then you can flip it backwards and do the same thing. So you've got four possible positions in your geometric dimensions there. I think I just blew that. You guys are just lost.
You know, that's
probably
what happens when you give an engineer something and have them try to explain it.
Well, how do you describe something in three dimensions with words on the radio?
That's why I tell them to go on barflybike.com, go to products,
yeah, there you go.
Click on the links, and you'll take a look at all of them. They come in every color. I mean, they come in quite an array of colors, so you can choose to mix and match with your bike. Here's something, though, I think was just utterly amazing to find out. Anybody who's followed me on my Facebook or in my racing has known that I took a really nasty 15-year crash. It's been about that long since I've hit the ground this hard, and it's actually taken me out of races for a while. And along with that crash, I destroyed quite a few components on my bike, one of which was the Barfly I was using, and my Garmin, and some, you know, shift indicators and brake levers, and yeah, the list goes on. Anyways, I called up Barfly, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm interested in you know, purchasing another one. And they're like, well, what happened to your first one? And I said, oh, well, I crashed on it, and I broke off a tab. So my Garmin won't stick in there anymore. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we have a... No, you know, a lifetime warranty on these. Just send us a picture, fill out your warranty form, and we'll send you a new one.
Yeah, that's customer service.
I said, are you guys bloody kidding me? I said, this is awesome. So, you know, this doesn't happen very much anymore. So I'm definitely standing behind this company. And as I was, you know, perusing through their product line, which is quite extensive, I guess what else I found in there for all you people who love to video record your antics. They have got one of the cleanest I have seen mounts for your GoPro. And we're looking at it sitting right here on our turntable.
Oh, that's what that thing is. It looks like a fish tank.
I got the waterproof case right now.
Cool. Waterproof case.
Yep. That mount is so stable. It's tucks the camera out of harm's way right in front of the stem, so it's not sticking up over the bars, it's not sticking under the bar, it's in line with your handlebars. Infinite adjustability, fits a 31.8 handlebar with no problem, quick release removal. I mean, I ran that the other day, and I've had the best video I have seen out of that camera since I've had it, using the stock GoPro mount. This mount's amazing. Just so happy to see it. And I mean, I've been putting this thing through its paces, and I feel so much better with it because my camera's not sticking up 3 inches over my handlebars, and I'm not worrying about it coming loose and then flopping down off the bar, and then I got to stop in the middle of a race or ride and retighten everything. This thing stays solid in place, same guarantee as the rest of the Barfly products. I highly recommend hitting your local shop and checking out their line of stuff. I mean, there's something for everything. Your time trial riders, they've got aero mounts for your computer. You know, triathletes, same deal. They also,
you realize you're going to have to provide a GoPro now of your last crash. So.
You know what? I didn't have it on, so I'll make sure I have it on next time. They also have iPhone carriers. They've got universal mounts. They've got them for the CatEye computers. They've even got one for the Cyclops Jolet GPS. So they've got a bunch of little things. It's really, really cool little, you know, company there, and I it's amazing. It's a great product. Really liking it.
How do we find out more about Barfly and get a hold of their products?
Okay, you can check any local bike shop. Most of them are carrying one, at least one of the products, and if not, they can order it. But for a really good description and list of everything, go to www.barflybike.com.
Cool. Barflybike.com. All right, we'll be right back.
Carbon Speed is putting the hammer down and rewriting the triathlon race wheel playbook. Okay, odds are, if you're one of the triathletes in America who has a need for speed, it ain't a luxury, it's a way of life. And chances are you're not a Russian billionaire flying around the world on your G5. You're actually working for every dollar, and you deserve the best. In our sport, where time is more precious than gold, it would be nice if you didn't have to sell your soul to get the best gear. Say hello to Carbon Speed. The speed game has officially changed, and your unfair advantage is right here. It ain't just about being lightweight and aerodynamic. It's about getting more with less. This is 1,578 grams of game-changing carbon fiber. Lightweight, low drag, ultra durable. It's not just a new race wheel. It's Carbon Speed. Get your unfair advantage at carbonspeed.com.
All right, we're back. We're back on Bike Sport Radio. And thanks to all our listeners out there, a new listener out there, Lisa. I hope you're listening, Lisa, and healing up well and getting some new action on that new mountain bike. She got a brand new mountain bike and is riding it somewhere up there in the valley. Somewhere in the valley. She's a valley girl, maybe.
Oh, have her look for me.
All right, will do. What else we got? We've got something else also on our product review here, Robert?
Yep, nope. Garage is going to go without this, and I'm making that prediction because once you see this item, whether you're a roadie, mountain bike guy, whatever bike you have, you're going to figure out a way to get this item in your garage. It's called the Scorpion bike stand. Now, I've seen it, and I was like, very interesting stand. Kind of looked at it, got, nah. And I thought about it, stayed in my mind, and realized, yep, got to get one. And it's a motorcycle-based, or the parent design, it's moto-based is what we want to use. Motorcycle dirt bike stands, they lift the bikes from the middle, and that way you can service front and rear and kind of get around, you know, do some basic service and whatnot. But more importantly, those moto stands hold the bikes up that don't have kickstands, and they hold them securely. So our object here is to have a way to hold your bike up and at the same time do some basic maintenance and things like that. So our friends at Scorpion came up with a stand that will actually fit on most modern mountain bikes with a, how do we want to explain the crankset?
Two-piece crankset?
Yeah, anything with
a hollow core two piece,
and you know,
cool. Looking forward. So let's see it. Where's the stand?
The stand's on the bike. You're gonna have to get up, Brad. The stand basically goes through the center hole of your crankset, and it's on a Delron bushing, so you can actually oil it. It secures your bike. You can spin the cranks while it's on the stand. And it holds the bike in place. More importantly, it holds it straight up and down. And very simple design, easy to carry. Doesn't take up too much space, and it's sturdy.
And they designed it to look like a scorpion. It actually looks like a scorpion. It's got one arm that comes up like a tail of a scorpion, and you put the stinger right through the bottom of your bottom bracket. So that was very creative, calling it the Scorpion Stand. You know, what else would you call it?
Yeah, exactly. And if you go to their website, scorpionbikestands.com, you'll actually see the scorpion, the little image of the scorpion has its tail sticking out as the
The tail looks like a tube. It looks like the tubular part of the actual bike stand.
Of the stand. So.
And it's really cool because you can put your crankset on there and you can still, the pedal clears the stand so you can actually pedal it.
Right. It's designed so that you can actually oil your chain, clean your chain, your drivetrain, do some base, you can do some gear adjustments on this thing. And it's steady. It's not going to fall off. I had it up during the earthquakes
so
we had. Yeah, I know. I'm sitting there looking at this going, man, the $1 million product.
So simple.
Here's
yeah.
the best thing about this product. Made here in California, in Temecula. Guy's making them
even
in his garage.
Better.
U.S. made, solid. He's trying to keep it all here at this point. As the interview said, I interviewed him out at Bonelli U.S. Cup. And he is trying to keep it here and wants to keep it affordable. It's a solid piece of material. I mean, he doesn't compromise the material. It's made from chromoly steel, so it's going to last forever. The weld quality is excellent. The powder powder coated, so they're going to last you a while. Powder coating doesn't come off. And the nice thing is he's designed this stand in a way that it's going to be fairly universal to, I'd say, 90-95% of all bicycles that are made, including road bikes. Now you say, oh, I don't have a crankset that has a solid opening. Well, I'm not sure if I can share it yet, but that is in the works. That problem will be solved within the next 2 weeks. I'm just waiting for the okay, and then we'll revisit it. But at Sea Otter, he's supposed to be releasing that new item. But I think actually on his webpage, he may even actually show it to you already.
Very cool.
I'll let you take a look at that on his webpage.
But you probably heard it first here on Bike Sport Radio.
Definitely, yeah, for that. And then there's a couple other things he's working on down the line that, you know, I can't just say until he gives me the okay. But, you know, for the price of this product, they're about $60 retail in the stores. And they're just starting to hit some of the bigger chain stores like Jensen and whatnot. So start taking a look, start asking for him, but, you know, go direct, show him your support. He's a local guy, he's a moto guy, and, you know, it's something he came up with, and, you know, it's his blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. You can tell he definitely stands behind his product. So, and once again, you can get the info at www.scorpionbikestands.com, and it goes into a little bit of the history, gives you a compatibility chart. And shows you the stand in action. Now, I do know...
Colors.
Color choices.
Lots of colors.
There. Now, the one we have right now that I got is the one-piece unit. And I will say this. I have the space to carry it, so it's not a big issue for me. But I did remember one of his very first prototypes being a two-piece stand. Where you could actually take it apart and fold, kind of
right.
fold
flat.
And I believe the last thing he told me was that, yeah, they were looking back at doing that again, going back to a two-piece stand. So
right.
I think that's going to, like a lot of the road guys, I know you guys are really tight for space. You all cramp up into one car sometimes, even some of the mountain guys too.
Maybe. It really doesn't take up that much space. I mean, you do have the scorpion tail sticking up, so you got to mount it. You got to package it somewhere in between some other objects that you might have in your trunk.
Yeah, that's what I usually do is I throw it under my toolbox. My toolbox sits right under where the tail part goes, and it doesn't take up that much space. And it's really lightweight. I think I actually had to ride it. I wedged it between my handlebars and my brake lever and rode it from when I grabbed mine up to my car with it. And I was like, did I just ride with this stand on my handlebars?
Yeah, you did.
I did. All right. I should have got a picture of that.
All right.
But a really amazing item. And I think we're going to see these in everybody's garage. I'm actually looking to get a couple more for some of the bikes that, you know, I can't hang. You know, anything with hydraulic brakes, really, you shouldn't be hanging up. And you know, this is really nice now because I don't have any issues with, you know, bleed issues with my brakes, and so easy to just pull it off the stand, do a quick oil change, you know, change clean oil, clean the chain, to drop some oil on it, go through my gears real quick, put air in the tires, grab it and go. I mean, it's an awesome stand.
Very cool. And you said it once, but say it again. Where do we find out more about Scorpion Stands?
www.scorpionbikestands.com.
Right on. Very good. All right. Robert's Reviews here on Bike Sport Radio. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem.
We've got some interviews coming up here, some pre-recorded interviews and some sounds and some racing sounds in the field. We've got Chatty Longlegs after a bike race in Castaic. Also G-Money on his second place finish at state championships. So sit back and enjoy some of these sounds here on Bike Sport Radio, and we'll be back later.
Shimano, if you push this over and just keep pedaling.
I don't know what to do. I've got a car that's come behind us. Help me. I was hoping to grab on and pedal this really fast.
Yeah, if you and I had been closer together, I could have pushed.
Yeah, Seth is in the way.
We're here at the Chuck Pontius Road Race today, Bike Sport Radio. The finish of the Masters 45s.
They're doing three laps.
If I could, I'd stick to the running. I can't run anymore.
Well,
I know. It's...
Give me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, Tim was right in there.
Yeah, you were. Oh, G-Money, you had that win. How did it go down? I saw you come off the front there on the little downhill or what?
Yeah. Well, it was just before that. You know, those guys are like playing their little games. Like nobody wanted to pull.
You and Thurlow were the main men.
Thank you. It was just maybe six of us.
Yeah, I think it was six.
The same guys were taking, you know, pulls, and the headwind was kind of nasty and swirling.
Perfect for big guys like you.
Yeah, so it was one of those like moments where it was swirling, so it was like headwind, tailwind, and
so you went.
I went on that flat section when they were all kind of sitting up, looking at each other, and I got a nice gap.
Got the gap.
Then it just. On the downhill section, I really put my head down and like buried it, and that really seemed to put a good gap.
We saw a huge gap. Yeah, you got to within 200 meters before.
I thought I had it, and my legs just turned into cement. I just could not pedal, and I tried to stand up, and then I almost like
cramp.
Well, I didn't
close
feel
cramp.
Any cramps, but my legs just didn't have anything in them. And here comes Thurlow.
Yeah.
So
the sprinter. Damn him. Damn him.
He has the goods.
The sprinter. I know. He only got you in the last 200 meters or so.
All
right.
Yeah.
Thurlow. Bike Sport Radio with an incredible finish in the Masters 45. We've seen this finish before. 1 and 2. Thurlow Rogers. Greg Liebert. We'll be coming at you later on Bike Sport Radio. And we're here with Chad of Big Orange also in the men's category threes, right?
Yes,
threes. Yeah, we saw you coming up in the lead group, chasing the two leaders there, a big sprint. How did it unfold from the bottom of the hill there?
Well, at the beginning, or going into the descent, Surfer Dan took off.
Hold on, I'm being interviewed here.
Surfer Dan, yeah, we're doing an interview right here, Blotty. Hold on.
Surfer Dan took off, and we were hoping that no one would chase and that he'd get away, or at least that's what he and I were hoping.
Yeah.
And I was just going to wait till they caught him. Unfortunately, I was too many wheels back. Yeah. Too many wheels back. And then going into the climb, I knew I couldn't go off too soon either because it was a longer climb than I know that I can attack.
Yeah, this is the 10-minute climb, huh?
Exactly. And, well, I don't know about 10 minutes, but I was about maybe
12 minutes.
I was a few people back, and I got boxed in. And as soon as I was able to get out, I just took it to the gutter, which I usually do on my attacks, and started passing everyone. And I started gaining on a lot of people, and even the third guy, I was like, I got at least podium. So I made it up there. Two people were in front of me. I'm okay with that, but I wanted the win.
Yeah, good job, man. You needed another 400 meters. You might have won.
I think
you were moving fast up on those guys. All right, thanks. Good job.
Thank you.
We're here with Kevin Phillips, also Ironfly, national champion, Stars and Stripes. You like the course, huh?
I do like the course. It wasn't as hard as anticipated. It was good. It was a good all-rounders course.
Yeah. There was some flats, some rollers on the back to the recovery section, and really only one long climb.
It wasn't a pure climber's course. It was a good all-rounder course.
Yeah.
It was a strong course.
Like it. All right. Good job on the race today. Thanks.
What's up, Robert?
No fucking numbers.
Yeah, that's right.
How did it go down? Where were you in the main? Were you in the main group?
I was in the second group with a wire.
Second group?
Yeah, with an Amgen wire.
An Amgen wire?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The guy that you're with?
Which one? The guy beating the sprint.
Oh.
I don't know him. I don't know who he was.
How's Chilo going, Brad? How'd you wind up then? What do you think?
I don't care. As long as I beat that guy.
All right.
You know what? Usually I don't get that petty in a race. It's like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
We're not in the race anymore.
Like, the first group was about six.
There were six in the first group.
Steve and the other guy, 7-8. Maybe you were top 10?
Yeah, you're probably top 10.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Even said he's like,
all right,
it's just
job.
Three of us coming in.
Hoofer! Go Hoofer! Hey, Eric, where?
That's what I should be in.
I told
as the category 3/4 roll out.
I know, I don't know.
And the men's 50 plus. Here at the Chuck Pontius Memorial Road Race.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California, and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org, or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
All right. Yeah, thanks for listening. Bike Sport Radio number 113. That's 113th show. And remember, cycling is not a crime. Motors, we're not criminals. Drive safely out there and drive your bike just like you would a car. And check out our website at cyclingisnotacrime.org and support our project. Thanks for coming in, Robert, and thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time on Bike Sport Radio.